Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Welcome back to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, everybody. This is your co-host, Tyler Yaw, and today I am with
Chris Kellum.
And our special guest today is
Victoria Redding.
And Victoria, what do you do?
I'm an attorney here in Wilmington. I'm a partner and co-owner of my firm, Atlas Legal, and we practice primarily estate planning, business law, and employment law.
Interesting.
Awesome. Sounds good. And we will make it sound a lot more fun than what most people are thinking right now when it comes to legalese. But this week, since Victoria has abstained from drinking right now, we are all drinking water, which is probably better off because Chris and I were getting a lot of content today from the Starling and we were already drinking beforehand. So,
and talking about that, I just want to give a shout out to any and all bartenders who come up with new drinks for each season or a drink in general, because my brain just like trying all these things is crazy to be like, how did you come up with that? Mm-hmm. Like we had a few of them, obviously. I can never just have one when I show up. But we had a few and their menu is just so delicious and it's always changing. For those who don't drink, they do have like non-alcoholic cocktails. Oh. We were talking about that while we were over there.
Pretty good too.
Because Tyler was like, oh yeah, you know, Victoria's not drinking. And I was like, that's fine. You know, they have a striptease number two, which is my favorite. Well, they use like Liar's non-alcoholic pink gin. And then they have Blanc Verjus and then strawberry and basil. I don't know what. And then salt. And it just chef's kiss. But if you want alcohol, you should definitely have a flannel crop top.
Just a random shout out just to bring in two of my favorite bars that do a really good job of seasonal drinks.
Yeah.
So one, Starling, they used our previous brand ambassadorship, Howlerhead, for one of their drinks. Really freaking good drink. The reason why I bring that up, Sarah Auld, that's one of her favorite whiskeys. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool that there's finally a cocktail that uses it. And at I forget what they're called now, but it's the Flying Machine Oyster Bar. So they came out with their fall menu, and you can actually go there and order a Sarah, which is named after Sarah Auld.
Yes.
So it is a riff on a bee's knees. So fun stuff there. So just wanted to shout that out because they're my two favorite places, and that just happened to have a weird connection with a past podcast guest. But enough about alcohol and past podcast guests. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So my name is Victoria Redding. I am licensed in both North Carolina and Arizona to practice law. Mm-hmm. I moved here from Arizona about a year ago, and that's where I started my legal career. My husband and I both went to Penn State, where we grew up. Ooh, in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Go Lions.
Yep. And diehard Nittany Lions. Oh, we'll be watching the game tomorrow. But yeah, so we moved to Phoenix so we could have an adventure. I could go to law school, and he got a remote job that was anchored on the West Coast. So we went there, planned to go to law school there, maybe stay for a little bit, ended up staying almost 9 years.
Oh,
and then moved here. So it's been a good adventure. Love Wilmington so far. We were just talking earlier, but I feel like the people I thought in Phoenix were really friendly. Then I moved here and I just thought, wow, these people are really, really friendly. So I've been super welcomed into the community and it's been a great year so far.
The question is, are they really actually friendly or are they like Southern friendly? Because those are two different things also.
That's true. I think Wilmington's like actually friendly. There's definitely other parts of North Carolina that are Southern friendly. Oh. In my personal Northern opinion. Do you know what Southern friendly is?
I'm not yet, but I'm sure I'll learn.
They're friendly to your face, but then they're not really anything to do with you on the backside.
Oh,
but
that's
tough. The people I've met down here, I have like actually good, genuine connections with. And I assume that you're not just being nice to my face for years on end without me catching on to it. So,
yeah, hopefully for the past year, I haven't just been trampsing around town, just so happy. And everyone's like, oh, that girl over there.
Oh, bless your heart.
No, so that, so this hasn't come out yet, but I did invite you on to the Build Your Community Summit to talk and everything too. And the reason why I did that is it seemed like you got yourself connected and the right group of people extremely fast, and everyone loves you. And so anytime you do get brought up in conversation, it's always really good things. So that was the reason why I wanted to bring you on and talk to other people about building community, because you did it so well down here.
Thanks. Well, that makes me really glad to hear. I had a lot of help, and I definitely was introduced to the right people right away. Mm-hmm. I think Catherine Bruner, who I know you've had on the podcast a few times and are good friends with too. Yeah. She was one of the first people I met here, and she just kind of plugged me in places that she thought I would thrive in, and introduced me to people that were friendly and kind. And I just try to go to everything that I can make time to go to and consistently see people. And I've been really enjoying it. Wilmington's such a good community I've found to be involved in. And that was something I really wanted when I was here, was community.
So we jumped into your story in Wilmington right away. So let's take a few years step back. What made you interested in law?
Yeah, I mean, I, for as long as I can remember, I've wanted to be a lawyer. I probably, before I even knew what that was, I just probably saw it on TV, said, I'm going to be a lawyer. And then as I got older, I kind of tried to figure out, okay, what skills do I have and what do I want to do? Didn't want to go into medicine, can't really handle blood and fluids and all that kind of stuff. I'm not great at math, so stayed far away from that. My husband's an engineer. He does all the math-related things in our life. But I'm a very fast reader. I am analytical. I enjoy interpreting and explaining things to people. Mm-hmm. I enjoy working with people. So when I went to Penn State, I thought I was going to be a criminal defense attorney. And I was gung-ho on that. Yeah. I majored in criminology, which at the time, Penn State didn't have a pre-law major. So I majored in criminology, and there were some law-type classes sprinkled in there. And it was great, and I loved it. And so applied to law school, got in. And then I was like, wow, I'm not going to be a criminal defense attorney. That is not what I'm going to do. So yeah, it's like one of my best friends from law school, though, he was a criminal defense attorney right out of law school, and now he's a prosecutor, and I can't think of anybody better for that job. I think people are just really suited for the areas of law that they tend to practice in, and thankfully somebody is.
Yes.
What was the experience that you had that you were like, yeah, you know what? Not for me.
Yeah. Well, so when you go to law school in your first year, everybody all across the country has to take the same core classes.
Right.
Whether you're going to Yale or you're going to Arizona State, you're taking the same classes. And one of those classes is criminal law.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take a criminal procedure class. And it's just, I just thought it was too emotionally back and forth for me. Mm-hmm. I had a really hard time thinking about how am I going to handle these kinds of situations without getting so emotionally invested. So, and I just really like to write. I really like to read. And I just, I didn't think I wanted to be in a courtroom all the time either. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit easier for me to rule that area of law out.
So I have the Chris style questions here. As a younger millennial, I guess you are, did you watch Boston Legal growing up?
I watched Legally Blonde was the first like law movie that I saw.
Okay.
And that but no, I didn't. But I watched a lot of Law and Order, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think, unfortunately, the shows that are on TV give lawyers such a bad reputation.
Suits, it's such an amazing show.
Suits is one of my favorite shows. I love it. It's so great, but it's so unrealistic. Oh. I mean, me, I don't know. I've never worked in a huge corporate law firm in New York, but it's very far from the practice of law, in my opinion.
That show was just ridiculous. I'm like, really? Come on, man. We're normal people. Our bills are a lot higher because we went to law school, but
Yeah, that's another thing. I feel like people, especially clients or people in the community, they're always like, man, lawyers are so expensive. You don't even want to know how much it cost me to go to law school.
Right.
In the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Oh, and I have to pay all that back. So like most attorneys, you have to pay for it somehow. And unfortunately, to pay it back, we have to charge what we charge. And so that's a little tough.
Well, and most of the time, too, it's very justified. Because it's the way that I look at it for like the groundwork, and you'll probably, there's a good chance you'll be like, no, you're completely wrong. But the way that I look at it anyway is almost like an insurance policy where like, okay, I don't like to pay my insurance premium every month, but when I get into that accident, I'm sure glad as hell that I paid that insurance premium.
Yeah.
So like it may hurt to spend that couple $1,000 with you up front to get your like C Corp or whatever set up. But I'm pretty sure in the long run, when you start coming up against some things that you don't want to come up against, it makes it worthwhile.
Yeah. I mean, I full-heartedly believe in being proactive rather than reactive. Being reactive is going to be more expensive. It's going to be more emotional. Mm. It's going to be more time-consuming. Not everybody can afford to be super, super proactive, but I really try to work with my clients coming up with a plan so that they can afford to be as proactive as possible.
Yeah. Try to push off the lawsuits and not bring them on because they know that they can be pierced or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. I mean, it can ruin your business.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
So as non-legal advice over here, because you were going into business now.
Yeah.
Things you actually work with. You said you do estate planning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is there a different type of estate work that people could do?
Yeah. So estate planning typically encompasses wills and trusts, probate litigation, and estate administration. I primarily do all of the pre-death documentation drafting. So basic will packages, powers of attorney, those kinds of things, or trusts, which trusts come into hand more with complex issues, people that have a lot of wealth, or they have companies that they want to put in a trust, or their home, or just different situations. But probably the average person in the community is going to be looking at either setting up a basic will or a basic trust.
Okay.
Yeah.
You cannot write your will on the back of a napkin and put it in your underneath your bed. That doesn't work in North Carolina.
But if my lawyer signs it.
Still doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm going to give the disclaimer that I'm not giving any legal advice and I'm not creating any kind of attorney-client relationship, just general information. But you are correct. You can't just write it on the back of a napkin and shove it under your bed. Your will has to be witnessed by two people and notarized in the, so to speak, witnessed in the presence of the notary. And so people moving to North Carolina, that's a big thing that they want to look out for, too. They probably want to get their estate planning documents checked by an attorney.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location. And it's really nice. They got some greenery out back as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you. So what you're saying is if I'm at a bar with a notary
and an attorney,
two people. Well, she didn't say an attorney had to be. She just said,
if you're not drinking at the bar and you're not consuming alcohol, then potentially yes. But you can't be under the influence of alcohol.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I assume the case, but I'm just here to just ask the silly questions.
It is a drinking podcast, so
I'm not drunk this time.
Surprisingly.
So estate planning. What is your? Because you mentioned you like reading and writing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why you chose? Because I know there's a lot of different things you could practice.
Yeah. So when I started out as an attorney. Mm-hmm. I started out in the realm of employment law, and I represented plaintiffs for about 5 years in employment law, workers' comp. And so I was representing individuals, and I wasn't doing a lot of reading and writing.
I'm sure.
I was in hearings a lot. I was analyzing medical evidence with doctors. All of my clients got hurt on the job and were trying to either return back to work, or if they're unable to return to work, we were trying to figure out something to help set them up for what they can do or how they're going to manage their life with their injury. So I didn't do a lot of reading and writing back then, but when I moved here, I kind of switched sides to the employer and business side. And so when I work with businesses now, I do a lot of drafting. I draft all entity startup documents, employment agreements, employee handbooks, master service agreements, drafting all of those kinds of things, which sound really boring, but it's exciting when you're working with the clients and they're talking to you about their business goals and what they want to accomplish and how can I draft the documents that will allow them to do what they want to do.
See, I'm just that, I wouldn't say dumb, but I'm just not, I would have never thought that the employee handbook given to me was written up by a lawyer.
Oh, yeah. I've read plenty of employee handbooks. I'm like, a lawyer wrote this.
sometimes they're not, which is the scary part. That's the proactive versus reactive part. Right. When companies, sometimes anybody can draft the employee handbook. But if you're wanting to comply with North Carolina law and federal law, and you have certain things about your business that are unique, you're probably going to want to consult with either an attorney or like a professional HR representative to help you with it.
What are three tips that you would give a business owner or a person who's looking to start a business to get started on the law side?
Yeah, I think if you're looking to start a business, and I think something that's really important to think about is when you talk to an attorney, it shouldn't be scary. You should be excited. I personally offer free consultations where my potential clients will come in and tell me about your ideas. Tell me what you're thinking you want to do. And we can talk about the best way to set up your business. So one is actually going through with meeting with a business attorney, whether that's me or one of the other great business attorneys in town, just so you're not starting with what you read on the internet and then having to backpedal. So that's definitely a tip, is actually go talk to an attorney. The second tip I would say is to prepare to meet with the attorney, you're going to want to have to already kind of have a business plan in place. Who's going to be doing this business with you? Is it going to be your spouse? Are you starting your business by yourself? Is your best friend starting your business with you? Because that's going to help the attorney figure out how to draft your operating agreement. The bank's probably going to need an operating agreement depending on whether or not you need a loan to start your business. Right. So already knowing that ahead of time before you go in to meet with an attorney is important too. And then I think finally, maybe just not having any expectations about how you think it's going to go. I think a lot of people, they just skip meeting with an attorney or they skip all the important documents because they're afraid it's going to be expensive. I see all the comments on Facebook when people are like writing in the Wilmington Facebook page and they're like, you can do this by yourself. An attorney's just going to take all your money and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure there are attorneys out there who charge a lot, and maybe I can't speak for all the attorneys, but most of us just want to help you. Mm-hmm. So come in with no expectations and just listen and learn. And if you leave with anything, you're going to leave with information. And that's what you need to start your business, is knowledge. So that's going to help you start and grow from there.
I think where a lot of the like negative connotation comes from is those like law and order and crime type of TV shows, where you just see like a prosecutor that's just coming in like a bat out of hell and just like coming in to attack. And it's funny meeting people who don't live on that side of law, because it's a completely different world. Like you said, everyone's out there to help you. Like odds are you didn't want to take on hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt just to be an asshole to your clients. want to help them out.
Yeah. And I don't think I'm an asshole outside of work. So I don't want to be an asshole inside of work. You know, like I like to bring my personality into work. I think It's super important that your clients can relate to you. I'm a person just like they are. I have a lot of questions that I probably think are dumb. Like, Tyler, if I have finance questions, the first thing that pops into my head is probably like, this is probably a dumb question, but, and you're probably going to tell me, no, it's not a dumb question. You're not in finance. So you have those questions. And so I think just one thing I really, really would love to get across to the community is there are really friendly attorneys out there who want to help you. And I think I'm one of them, hopefully. And, you know, yeah, again, we just want to help people. And once you get connected to the right team and the right group of people, it won't be so intimidating. And I guess that's more towards business owners.
And I thought you were very personable too when I first met you as well. So anytime someone comes across my desk that needs help with anything, you're the first person I recommend all the time. Just because I know anyone that can come to you, you'll strike up a conversation with them, really easy to talk to. And I've heard great feedback from those clients as well too. So
thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm a person too. I like to do things on the weekend. Like, I like to talk about the things I'm interested in too. I like to hear what other people are interested in. I like to ask where people like to eat in town. Yeah. I don't know. I'm new here too. So I'm just trying to integrate myself in the community, and people that are here know more than I do. So I like to really hear what people are into and share what I'm into too.
So what do you do enjoying on your days off?
Yeah, so super outdoorsy. In Phoenix, my husband and I hiked all the time. It's hot, but actually this time of year where it starts to cool down in Arizona is super nice. Yeah. My husband actually proposed to me on one of the hardest hikes in Phoenix. So I had to work for my ring, but I really wanted to do that hike. I'd been begging him to take me. So I like to do a lot of hiking. I know there's not a lot of hiking in Wilmington, unfortunately, but I've gotten into paddleboarding and kayaking, which I've really enjoyed. I like to walk. I used to run. I don't run as much anymore, but I just like to really be outside. Yeah, it probably will see me either walking the loop at Wrightsville Beach or I live in River Lights now. So walking around the lake over there is really nice. I try to do that every day when it's not raining.
Right. Not today.
It randomly started raining today. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
So Chris's silly random questions. I know this could be stupid. So for someone who, because we were talking about going for goals earlier today, and so if someone has a business idea and they're like, ooh, I'd love to, I don't know, start a suit store or something.
This is a very specific question. Just so
you know. You want to start a suit store, Chris?
I haven't decided what I want to start. But I'm, you know, I'm just giving out ideas. Like people wanted to start a clothing store or something like that. Because I see all these things on TikTok and Instagram where it's like, oh, just go to this and start an LLC and you're good to go. Is that true? Or should they like actually come find you?
Well, it's always, I would say if you can meet with an attorney before you file anything, that's going to be best. You can pay an attorney to file your documents for you if you don't even want to have to navigate that. It is really easy though to start an LLC in North Carolina. You just go on the Secretary of State's website, follow the steps, you get an EIN number, and you're pretty much good to go. You have to file articles of incorporation. You probably want an operating agreement. And so it wouldn't hurt to talk to an attorney before you file your own documents. But most people file their own documents, unless it's somebody that is restructuring a business that they already have, or they're creating a second business, spin off from their first business. But most people file their documents by themselves.
I also just hate doing stuff myself. I know there's always things in the world where people are like, oh, you can do that yourself. And I'm like, true, but there's someone who's way better at this.
Right.
I'd much rather use my time in a different direction and work with someone who's better at it. AKA why Tyler has filed almost all of our paperwork.
I've done it a few times.
Yes. Because he's done it. He's like, he's great at that. Whereas I'm like, I'm an idea person. I'm like, you know, I just need to figure out who I need to work with to get this idea off the ground.
Yeah.
So that's a smart way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the people that always think they know everything is probably the ones that get in most trouble.
Yeah. It definitely, I see a lot of people that, I see this a lot in the wedding industry. There's a lot of photographers and event planners mm-hmm. and videographers. And I can't imagine because I'm a business owner, started yeah. a business from scratch. It's expensive to go to an attorney and ask them to draft all the agreements that you need to draft. Like a photographer is going to need their service agreement. If they have a second shooter, they're going to need an agreement with the second shooter. They're probably mm-hmm. going to need addendums drafted and things like that. But it would be great if they would reach out to an attorney first, because a lot of attorneys like myself, we offer packages rather than just billing hourly. So mm-hmm. like, Chris, if you wanted to start a photography business, you've already done that.
That was a different lifetime mm-hmm. when I worked with a photographer.
Okay.
His suit business now.
Okay. So yeah, now it's your suit business. Okay. But yeah, I think the wedding industry, there's a lot of just service vendors. And so I see a lot of mishmash contracts where people will Google or they'll use LegalZoom and they'll just copy and paste paragraphs and stuff them in an agreement and then throw in some like legalese words like here and after or whereas and
where to for.
Yeah. And then it doesn't really make sense. And so if those business owners could ask for some guidance up front, that would really help them avoid. Like when COVID hit, that was a horrible hit to the wedding industry. A lot of people didn't have things in their contracts to protect themselves from losing payments, from cancellations, from people getting COVID. What do they do? And so now I think people are starting to seek expert advice for that. But I think that's important for people in any industry. But I specifically am seeing it a lot in the wedding service industry.
Yeah, with Wilmington being a very wedding-oriented area, I highly recommend as a previous DJ in a later life.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was a DJ for about 10 years.
Oh, wow.
So I was actually friends with another DJ who had a horrible falling out with one of their clients and barely, kind of what you said, like it was something that was thrown together that he saw online and he lost basically everything when he went into this litigation with the client. And at that point I was like, okay, I need to find someone to go through my stuff because I don't have a contract at all. So I was 18 at the time. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. Yeah. So
the younger days.
Yeah. The younger days.
Yeah. So anyone listening who is in Wilmington and part of the wedding industry, go get that free consultation from Victoria, because I guarantee you it'll save you money down the road.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I just, like I said, there are things where, like, if you're not a business owner, you don't think about those things.
Right.
But then even people who've started businesses will be like, oh, well, I do have to, I guess I need a contract.
I mean, let's be honest. It's not the first most exciting thing as a business owner when you're like, I'm going to open this brand new store. Let me go talk to an attorney.
Yeah.
But it is probably one of the most important things to get yourself organized, because especially like knowing you, you're probably going to help them with other resources along the way too. Okay, great. We open this up. This is what we do. This is how you file these documents. You should go talk to X, Y, or Z now.
Yeah. That's one thing I've been really trying hard in the past year that I've been here is to make connections that I can refer my clients or people that don't even hire me, but they need a CPA or a financial planner, or they need somebody to help them get workers' comp insurance. I really think reputation is so important, and that in your word is so important, and trust is so important. Mm-hmm. And so when people come to me, whether they're hiring me or, you know, maybe I can't help them, but I want to direct them in the right way. The person that I'm going to send them to is somebody that I know their quality of work. I trust them to take care of the person I'm sending to them the way that I would take care of them. And so I think that's really important. Just talking about community in general too, is like, who's your community and the people that are in your community, trusting them and knowing that referring business should be, in my opinion, personal like that. Like, I'm not just going to Google. You can Google yourself if you want to find somebody on Google. But if you want to ask me, you know, like, who's a good financial advisor in Wilmington, I'm going to refer you to somebody that I know will help you out. And if they can't help you, I know they're going to refer you to somebody that they trust and that kind of thing. Yeah.
I mean, I do know a financial advisor.
Me too.
I realized the other day that I know way more than I thought I did.
There's a bunch of them around there and they all focus on something different too, which is interesting.
Like we were saying earlier, I'm like, when people are like, oh, hey, I'm a lawyer. It's like, I feel like there's a lot that could go into that, like, lawyer packaging. And even if you're like, I do estate planning. Well, I don't actually focus on this side of it, but I focus more on this. So,
yeah,
it's a big umbrella.
Yeah, yeah, huge umbrella. Just like any industry. I know there's CPAs out there who, like, stay in their specific niche. And so I think just with any industry, there's umbrellas too.
If you were to give your ideal client, what would that look like? Or who would that look like?
Oh, on the business side, a company that is planning to grow, so business owner who has a plan for growth. Mm-hmm. I love getting involved with businesses who are going to need my help along their process. I like to see them grow, expand, hire employees, sell their business at some point. And I like to be a part of that from the start and build those relationships. So, and that's an ideal client for me on the business side. A small business that has a good business plan and is taking the steps that they want to do seriously. That's an ideal client for me. I see a lot of people who they have an idea and they're going to start their business and I'm happy to help them too. But they find out how much work it's going to be. And that's discouraging for them.
Yes.
I see that a lot.
Yeah. Tyler comes at me all the time and I'm like, you know, this would be a good idea. And I always come up with negative things to say. And he's one of those people who's like, you know, don't think negatively. If you think positive, he always says something positive to say, like, oh yeah, you know, you could find somebody who has this, or you can reach out. There's plenty of people in town that do that. And it's always interesting. Because I feel like if you have somebody in your corner, it's going to be a lot easier in life, and it's also better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think you seem like someone who'd be in the corner, not just because I think just mostly because you're a good person, not because you're a lawyer trying to make money.
Well, I can be tough when I want to be, too.
Well, that's what you need. So the last guest we had on, we talked about, like, don't allow people to love you into a lower level. Mm-hmm. So you want that person who's tough on you as well, because odds are someone who doesn't know you probably isn't going to be, like, lovingly tough on you because they don't really know you enough. It's only the people that truly know you who's willing to challenge you and tell you the things that you don't really want to hear.
Yeah. That comes into play a lot with family. They have, like, a quick legal question all the time, you know, and so, or, like, they have a quick finance question. I'm happy to talk with my family about their legal questions and things like that. But I try to tell them, like, if you're asking me for advice, I'm going to have to remove the emotional aspect of it and tell you, like, the tough part of it.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to ask me as, like, your sister or your daughter or your cousin, I can give you that answer. Mm-hmm. But if you're asking me for specific legal advice, it's not, unfortunately, not always going to be rainbows and butterflies kind of answer. So sometimes you have to deliver the tough information, but that doesn't always have to be negative either. I think it's good to have all the information when you're making decisions.
I think that's something difficult in general with what we do as well, being in the, like, the knowledge-based industry is like, well, it's just a question. Why can't you just answer it for me?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, one, I don't know near enough about it. And two, like, we can't just give out free knowledge that we took years and tons of expenses to figure out to support the business that allows us to do that for you.
Yeah. I get a lot of people who they'll contact my office or they'll shoot me an email and they'll say, I need a will, but it's just going to be a quick will. Like, it's going to be really easy and you probably won't need to charge a lot for it. And typically with those people, I already know ahead of time, one, they probably don't have a grasp on what an attorney is going to do for them. Right. And so I had somebody that I met early on when I moved here one time, and they contacted me and they're like, I just need, like, a quick will. And I'm looking to only spend like $100. And I was like, I'm sorry, but like, I can't, mm-hmm. I can't do that. It's going to take me a lot longer. And the integrity of my work is tied to that. So I just can't. And their comment was, oh, okay, I'll just get one on LegalZoom. Then it's the same thing. And it's not, you can totally fine. I'm not knocking LegalZoom or Legal Shield or some of the other mm-hmm. options that are out there, but it's not the same thing. And setting those boundaries is important too, I think, as far as my integrity and my reputation is attached to what I put out in the community to my clients. And so I can't just do a quick will all the time.
Right.
No, we had one of our good friends, Thaddeus, was on and he's one of those people that he gives quotes all the time for people and some people all the time are shooting like, well, can I just pay you for this much? And he's like, no, this is my business. This is my livelihood. And I have to stand behind my work. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I don't think people look at it that way nowadays. They're just like, oh, I'll just give you a price. It's like, so if you want me to do the work for that price, understand it's not going to be one to my standards. And two, you're not going to get what you think you're going to get.
Yeah. They have that meme out there where it's like, but do it cheap. And it's just taped papers together. That's what I'm like. If you want me to do it cheap, here you go. Here's like your taped papers. And yes.
I'm like, if I wanted it cheap, I would just go buy a pressure washer and like hit my house up.
Yeah,
or if I was going to be cheap, I'd be like, so I saw this on an episode of Suits. So this is what they said. So this should work, right? It's like, no.
Yeah.
Pay a little bit more, get the quality, get what you need.
So on the lines of estate planning, what are some myths that you hear often that you can debunk for us now?
Yeah, the biggest one that I hear, they'll come in for a consultation and I'll be like, okay, why are you here? What are your goals? And they'll say, well, I want to avoid probate. So if I have a will, I can avoid probate. I'm like, nope. It makes the probate process probably easier if you have a will, then the state knows how to distribute your assets. But so if you don't have a will, then it's the state's decision and it's going to go through how North Carolina's statutory process goes. So by having a will, you're not evading probate. Everything's supposed to be filed upon your death and then your assets have to be distributed accordingly, but it's going to be a lot easier. So I usually tell people your family still is going to have to file your documents. Whoever you elect as your personal representative is still going to have to do all those things. It's just going to make it a whole lot easier for you. So that's one. If you draft yourself a will or you go get a will quickly done somewhere and then go to bed at night thinking that your family's going to avoid probate upon your death, you're not. So that's a huge one.
Well, isn't it true, like, just when someone passes away in general, it just automatically opens up probate?
Yeah. So you actually do have to file. You have to have the death certificate. You have to have a whole bunch of other documents. And then somebody has to file, notify that you have died and that whether you have assets or not. Mm-hmm. And so the process starts. But yes, upon death, probate begins. And your post-death documents will start to come into play. Mm-hmm. I also draft a lot of, I would say, pre-death documents that are super important. These are a lot, I feel like everybody should have these. These are a lot quicker to draft, but powers of attorney, healthcare, financial, HIPAA form, a living will, these are all documents that come into play while you are alive, but you're incapacitated. And so if you have everything written down the way that you want, you're taking a lot of pressure off of somebody else that has to make these decisions for you, or they're able to make decisions a lot quicker and less stressful. I've had to personally go through the experience of not having a healthcare power of attorney when I needed one, and it was very difficult. So I always advocate for that. If you're not ready to have a full will package done or estate planning package, it might be good to go home, talk to your spouse, talk or your partner or whoever, and decide if that's something that you want to have. So I would say not a myth, but just kind of a tip for anybody listening that it's just an important document to have. It's like when people are adulting, I would say add this to your adulting portfolio.
As a financial advisor, I agree. It makes my life easier if you have a POA as well.
See, I didn't, like, you're talking about it, and going through the military, we all of us had to sign something.
Yeah.
And as a kid, because I didn't consider myself a full adult yet, you don't realize like how much work went into being written up and what all it covers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh yeah, this is this. And I'm like, all right, I really don't want to sit in this line. So I just signed off on something. And now I realize like how much ramifications that had on my life.
Yeah. And if you still have them, and I heard you say earlier that you have a wife, you might want to check those documents and see if, I don't know if you were married at the time or not, but probably want to just revisit if they exist still.
Are they still viable if I'm not in the military?
Yeah.
They could be.
Oh, you probably have a copy somewhere.
Yeah.
Someone probably has a copy somewhere. If they don't, I don't know. Then,
yeah. I guess if no one can find it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I will be sure the state has it though. See you sooner rather than later then.
Most of them say too, when they're dated, like, this is the most up-to-date copy of such and such document. So if an old one does resurface down the road, you should be fine. But
yeah. Whoops.
Just a little, like, everybody check your documents and see what you have or what you need. It's just a good check.
Yeah. Good rule of thumb.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for, is to add the silliness of, oh yeah, I should probably adult a little bit better.
Well, if I wasn't doing what I am doing for a living, I probably would never think about it either.
Right.
Probably be like, I don't have kids. I don't really own much. Like, I don't have a ton of assets is what I would think. Right. A lot of people don't realize their assets include their investment accounts, their 401ks, their, you know, all those kinds of things. So you probably have more assets than you think. And it's a good idea to think about it. People don't really want to face their mortality, but there's nothing wrong with it. And then once it's done, you don't have to think about it for a little while again.
It wasn't one of my clients, but it was a friend of mine. His client passed away and had like just a really basic, like, hey, these assets go here, da, da, da. Mm-hmm. And they didn't realize there was, I forget what it was, but some type of antique in this guy's attic. Mm-hmm. And was worth like tens of thousands of dollars, and it wasn't anywhere. So there was like a battle royale of all of the family members. They're like, oh no, but like I touched that when I was two. And it was like, oh man, like I wish this was like in the will too.
Yeah. And sometimes with family members too, a big thing that we talk about typically, we're like, tell me about your family members. Tell me about your kids. Usually if it's a parent coming in or a couple and they have children, I want to hear about their children. Like,
yeah, of course.
Are they financially responsible? Are they of age where, you know, maybe they're 25, but they are still partying all the time and living at home, and maybe they shouldn't come into contact with a bunch of money very quickly. Like, you may want to think about how to protect them and their future if something were to happen to you. And kid number two might be great and super responsible. And so just kind of, we talk about the family dynamics, and that's another portion of why it's just good to go have those conversations, because when everything just distributes equally and you're not thinking, maybe that's not the best idea. Mm-hmm. That's my job, is to ask those questions and make recommendations so that what you want is actually what will happen.
Interesting. I love all of that. one of my last questions, as a small business owner, what does success look like for you?
Yeah, I personally think obviously success looks different to everybody. Some people, they measure it by money or they measure it by happiness. I like to measure my success with growth and what I leave behind. As I was saying earlier, my reputation and my word is very important to me. And when I left Phoenix, I left a really tight-knit workers' comp community. And an attorney that I've worked with there since the day I became an attorney is at a conference right now, the annual workers' comp conference. Mm-hmm. And he was just texting me, like, just telling me how it's going. And all the defense attorneys and the plaintiff's attorneys are in one place. So it's actually super fun. Everyone gets along pretty well. But he was saying that people were, I mean, I've been, this is the second conference that I will miss because, that I've missed because I'm not in Arizona. And he was saying that people were asking how I was doing and that they really miss working with me and that they, you know, just good things about, it sounds like, what I left behind was a good reputation and that I helped my clients and that I made a good impression on people. And to me, that feels successful. And then taking what I've learned and growing that here in Wilmington, I think growth is super important. Learning and growing is success to me.
Nice.
That's awesome. So with that being said too, then one of my last questions is if you were to tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
Oh, I would say have more confidence in yourself. Okay. When I first went to law school, there were a lot of people being like, don't go to law school. Like, you're not going to graduate. It's super expensive. Like, you're going to just, it's going to horrible career. And I was really upset and stressed out about it for a long time. I wasn't super confident. Sometimes I'm not confident now, but it definitely took me a good 10 years to build the confidence that I have now. And I think I just didn't believe in myself as much as I definitely should have. Sometimes I would make myself smaller so that others could be bigger. And I don't believe in that anymore. And I would just tell 25-year-old Victoria starting her first legal job to just be yourself and be confident in who you are. You have the skills and you are where you are because that's where you're supposed to be. You've earned it and go with that. And I would tell that to anybody also that is young, nervous, especially women. It's a really scary field to get into when you're a young woman and you're entering the legal profession. It's a very male-dominated field. Yeah. And so I think the confidence is something that I wish I had more of when I was younger.
That's great.
So where can people find you in order to use your resources?
I'm not on a lot of social media. I should be. That's something down the road I'm going to work on. But right now, you can email me directly. My email is Victoria, V-I-C-T-O-R-I-A, at atlas-legal.net. Or our website is atlas-legal.net. And you can, our phone number's on there. And that's the quickest way to get in contact with me.
Nice.
Well, if you need help with your social medias, you should use Sway Creations, which is who we use.
100%. Yeah. They make life so much easier.
It is true that we wouldn't have near as much as on our Instagram. So just wanted to throw them out there too. Yeah. And all the help that they've been able to provide for us.
So yeah, my real last silly question I have for you. Do you ever read court transcripts and just laugh your ass off?
I follow an Instagram account for somebody who doesn't do a lot of work social media. Yeah. I follow like the memes on Instagram and there's like some legal related ones where there's typos or like funny things that are said in court transcripts. And I send them to my friends. I laugh so hard. I don't know if people laugh as hard as I do, but I do. It's so funny.
I think I follow that too.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. I forget what it's called, but it's really funny. But yeah, I do. Sometimes I used to read my own court transcripts back though and be like, why did I say that? What happened? I never called you a judge, Your Highness, but I know some people get really nervous and instead of saying Your Honor, they say Your Highness or something. So sometimes I have like horrible dreams of that happening to me.
That's hilarious.
See, I just didn't know because as a normal person, I'm like, some of these court transcripts are hilarious. So I didn't know if like lawyers thought that too.
Yeah, sometimes I say really dumb stuff by accident because I'm nervous. And then you have to read about it and it's published and you're like, oh, great. There was me like saying 100 times because I was too nervous or something like that. Yeah.
I hear that too when I have to go through our transcript before I edit it and everything on this. But I get to edit it the way I want it
to. Thank goodness.
The court transcript is not as forgiving, unfortunately.
No.
Unfortunately. But thank you for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I learned so much.
Yeah.
I'm happy. I hope that people listening learn too. And just know that if you have a question or you're interested in learning more, probably see me out at different things or you can ask me. I'm friendly. I'm not going to bite. And I would welcome the questions.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Look her up. We'll have all her stuff listed in the show notes. As per usual, to help us out, like, comment, share, subscribe. you know, leave us a nice 5-star review or subscribe to our YouTube channel. That also helps us out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have a good one. We will catch you in the next one.
Cheers.
Cheers.